I want to start talking about death in this story from the Quran. And that is what I call the grand story of the Quran, the Garden of Eden. And that is the garden where Adam and Eve were living at the beginning. And then they were, of course, thrown out of it because of the sin they committed. Now, this garden, of course, we don't know where this garden was. It is not the paradise, certainly. Of course, it is called Jannah in the Quran. But Jannah means garden. وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا رَجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ Okay. Give them the parable of the two men, to one of whom we had given two gardens. Okay, so Jannah in the Quran not necessarily mean paradise. It means any garden. Now, Allah says that after He created Adam and Eve, He put them in a Jannah, in a garden. Okay? So, it was not paradise, because the paradise has not, of course, materialized yet. It would materialize after the evolution of the whole universe. And it is not possible to put anyone in that Jannah now, at this moment. And, of course, there are lots of discussions where this Jannah was, if it was not the paradise. We don't want to enter into such discussions now. Why I want to mention this story, to come to the concept of remembrance of death, is because this story is very much related to this concept. And, of course, as I have named it, it is the grand story of the Quran. It is the core of all teachings of the Quran to human beings, to Bani Adam. You know, in Surah A'raf, we'll go through it inshallah, God mentions the story of Adam and Eve, and how Adam was deceived, and what happened, and then He addresses us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us as the children of Adam. Ya Bani Adam, if you hear the story of your father, of your parents, then listen now. So, this story is told not just to tell us that Allah doesn't want to make qiba of Adam, alayhi salam, of course. He doesn't want to degrade Adam. He has told this story so that we draw lessons from it. We be careful, become careful, so that we do not repeat the same mistake which our parents committed, which our parents, of course, did, and, well, of course, we are repeating the mistake all the time, every day. But let's go through the story. Of course, you know the story is mentioned in many, many surahs of the Quran. But I have chosen one version of the story in Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh surah of the Quran, which is a bit more elaborate in its contents. And you might, just as a exegesis point, I mentioned this from an interpretation point of view. You might see a story repeated in the Quran in different surahs, and you might think that Allah has just repeated Himself, while this is not the case. In every surah, if you carefully pay attention, you would see that in every surah, the story is approached from a different angle. So that at the end, if you put all these together, you would get a multidimensional picture of the story. Any story, say for example the story of Musa alayhi salam, the story of Adam and Eve, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It is not repetition, it is just looking from a different perspective to this story. And then if you put them together, you construct them, you would see that you would have, as you have lived with those people, you would have a multidimensional, not a linear type of storytelling. It's a multi-dimensional style of storytelling which comes in the Quran. Now, the surah of Adam and the story of Adam and Eve has been repeated in the Quran probably more than 7 or 8 surahs. And there are allusions to it in other surahs as well. In this surah, of course, we get the picture both from the perspective of Shaitan and from the perspective of Adam. In other surahs, sometimes we get the story only from the perspective of the Shaitan. In some of them, we get the story only from the perspective of Adam, alayhi salam. Sometimes we get it from the perspective of the angels. And it's very nice, if you put all these together, you will see that all those creatures involved in this story have been given a perspective to this story. And it is amazing how the whole story has been tackled in the total first, from first to the end of the Quran. Okay. The story in Surah Araf begins with the very famous concept of the angels being ordered to prostrate to Adam. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. And certainly we created you, then we fashioned you. Then we said to the angels, make obeisance to Adam. So they did. They did obeisance, except Iblis. He was not of those who did obeisance. Okay. Now, sajda, of course, doesn't mean to put forehead on the ground only, because, of course, angels don't have a head to put on the ground. So it meant just to bow down spiritually, just confess the greatness, the great importance of Adam and his wife, of course. Well, it's just something struck my mind. Nowhere in the Quran it has said, Usjudu l'Adam and his wife. It's just Usjudu l'Adam. Isn't it? Have you noticed this? Why not Usjudu l'Hawa? Any idea? Adam was a prophet. And Hawa was not. Yeah. That's a good reason. It was not human being, paired as human being, which was the object of prostration. It was, as we are told, the knowledge which was endowed with Adam, which made him deserving the prostration of the angels. So, probably Hawa was not given that knowledge. Of course, other women were given the knowledge, like Maryam or like Fatima, salamullah alayhi, but Hawa was not given that kind of knowledge to be prostrated by the angels. Okay, and Iblis did not prostrate. Now, then there is a conversation between God and Iblis. قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He said, what hindered you so that you did not make obeisance when I commanded you? He said, I'm better than he. You have created me of fire while you have created him of dust. Okay, a few things here. I want to get the whole aspect of the story so that when we come to that issue of death, we are completely aware of different aspects of the story. Few issues here. Now, you see, Allah is directly speaking to Iblis, isn't it? And Iblis is answering. It means Iblis is receiving revelations from God. Okay, of course, not all angels are able to receive revelation from God. Angels are of many types. So Iblis, although he was not an angel, he was given that position to be among the angels. And he could be addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, very great creature, wasn't he? Someone who was elevated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a position which could be addressed by him, could hear his revelations. So what does this tell us? Anyone, any idea? What does this tell us? I mean, if someone is elevated to a station, which can be addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and can address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and receive answers from him.
Must be an exceptional jinn.
He was an exceptional jinn, of course. He was elevated to that very, very high station. But what do we infer for ourselves?
Was he very close to God?
He was very close to God, of course, because he received revelation. This tells us that even our prophets are at the same danger, isn't it? If they commit kabir. I mean, our prophets, what is the preference of a prophet from ants over a jinn, which is being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, if such a creature of jinn can be descended down from that position for kep, of course, a prophet from ins can have that danger as well. And this would tell us that prophets were always very wary and careful about their behavior, especially about kebr. Well, we'll talk about takabbur later on, arrogance. I mean, when someone gets to this station, arrogance can very easily come in. Look, you are at a station where God speaks to you and you speak to God, and then it's very easy to get deceived. And, well, of course, there was no shaitan here to deceive Iblis. Was there a shaitan to deceive him? No. He himself was shaitan. We shouldn't always put the blame of what we do on shaitan. It's not always the case. Sometimes some human beings deceive some shayateen. Believe it or not. Sometimes the jinn, the shayateen, are not as clever as human beings in, of course, mischief and in doing all types of sins. And we have a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq about one of his companions who, of course, deviated from the path and then was the founder of the Ismaili faith. Well, his ideas led to the Ismaili faith. He was not the founder of the Ismaili faith. Imam Sadiq said that shaitan comes to him every day to learn from him what type of disease and deceptions he has, so that they go and teach it to others. The shayateen would come to him. Okay, first thing we learn from this story. I mean, if we ponder on the Quran, everything is said there. I mean, all these questions, whether the prophets are immune from sin or are immune by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, there's no immunity for anyone. Asma is a different issue. We may talk about it later on, inshallah. There's no immunity when free will comes in. It's all for us to decide. Whether we are a prophet or an ordinary person, it's for us to decide. Whether we want to go to continue the path, of course the prophets have traversed the path to the very, very close to the end. But still they have to continue. And at every moment there is the danger, the peril that they might fall. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. This is in Surah Zumar, isn't it? لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. We have revealed to you and the prophets before you, if you slightly deviate to shirk, whatever you have done would go void. It wouldn't be kept from it. So, this happened to Shaitan, of course. There is an example here. And there is an example from Ins as well, mentioned in the Quran. Who knows what's the example from Ins mentioned in the Quran? About someone given all these high stations, then deviated and was cursed. Exactly the same destiny that Shaitan had.
During the time of persecution?
Or after him, yeah. During his time or after him. Yeah, Bal'am bin Ba'ul, one of the Israelites, of course. Well, we don't know whether he was a prophet or not. Maybe not. But he was given the type of knowledge which the prophets were given. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. Recite for them the report of the one who to whom we gave our signs. Well, the knowledge, the sign that we give to prophets. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. But he came out of it. When he came out of it, of course, as long as he was in, Shaitan didn't dare to approach him. But he himself came out of it. فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Then Shaitan followed him. He followed him, caught him. And, of course, he dropped him from the position. And then he says, but this is very, very scary. I mean, the way Allah speaks about someone of that caliber. فَمَثَلُهُ فَمَثَلِ الْكَلِبِ. His parable is the parable of a dog. If you give him anything, they would bark. If you don't give them, they would bark. We gave him all our ayat, just like the dog. This was the situation. Okay.
He said the one who had Ism al-Azam. Is this the person who had Ism al-Azam?
Yeah, they said he knew Ism al-Azam and all. Well, Quran says, we gave him our signs. Now, in the Riwayat, we have that he knew Ism al-Azam. Ism al-Azam is not something that you can learn. Ism al-Azam is a knowledge given to people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, that is the station of the prophets. Yes?
You're talking about in the Surah Zumrah, and if you have the slightest bit of shirk, then everything you do will be void. How slight? Because that includes all of us. None of us have absolute.
No, that's addressing to the prophets.
But what does that mean for us?
No, for us nothing. We don't have those stations, so we are not at that peril. I mean, the higher we go, the more dangerous our situation would become, and the more careful we should be. So don't think that the prophets are really enjoying themselves in this world, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them from all kind types of deviation and wrongdoing. No, they are really, really careful about what they do. They are really scared about their own behavior. Of course, they have the khashya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, the things are a bit different there.
Why did he deviate? Was it also kibbutz that made him deviate?
Shaitan, yeah.
Bal'am ibn Ba'ul.
Bal'am Ba'ul. It was the love of this world, yes. Forgetting the death. The Quran, what the Quran says is that وَلَوْ شَئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا. If we wished, we would have lifted him with all those ayahs to very, very high positions. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. But he sought perpetuity on the earth. Forgot the death. He thought that he's going to live forever on this earth. Maybe he was after something to keep him as perpetual on this earth. Maybe seeking something which would...
In that same phrase that says he was asked by Fir'aun to go and curse the Messiah.
Curse Musa. This is actually not very authentic. It is even not known whether he was living at the time of Musa or not. Probably he was living much after Musa. We have contradictory ahadith about him. We better stick to the Quran and forget about hadith now, because then it takes us into very contradictory things. Now, There is an argument here put forward by Shaitan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to tell me what is wrong with these arguments. Okay? You might say Shaitan is very clever putting such an argument to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might say he's very silly. Let's see. Let's see which one. Is he very clever or very silly? Now, let me tell you, let's put ourselves into the situation. Now, you are very, very great creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Jibreel, okay, which we are told when he stands, his feet is on the earth and his head goes out of the seventh sky. Okay? This is an example of how huge Jibreel is. Of course, we have tiny angels as well. Okay? But we have huge angels as well, like Jibreel, like Mikael, like Israfil, and Israel, of course, who captures all our souls in himself until the day of judgment. He should be very real huge angel. Okay? Now, suppose we are one of these huge angels. And of course, there are not only four. You cannot number them. In creation, Allah has not created anything more than angels. I mean, all the creatures, you just think about the creatures of God you see on this earth. Human beings, animals, plants, cells, bacteria, and all these things. These are all creatures of Allah. Only on this earth. Now, then we have on other planets, probably we have on other planets creatures living. But we are told that Allah has not created anything. Well, then we have jinns as well, which, the number of which is not known to us, because they are of different types as well. You see, we have different species among ourselves, like human beings, apes, chimps, and dogs, cats, and the jinns have those different species among themselves as well. It's just a different world. But they have different species. They have wars among themselves. Some of them fear others. Like us, some of them eat probably others. Maybe, we don't know. Someone was telling that why Allah has created all these evil animals, like a snake and these things. I said, I don't think Allah has created anything more evil than human beings, because all animals are harmed by human beings. I mean, anything that you imagine is, well, the most apparent thing is that we are polluting the environment in a way that even the fish in the sea are not, are vulnerable to what we do. So we are very harmful creatures, as you know, that Allah has created. But anyhow, we are the spoiled creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has put us over other creatures, so to speak. Now, in Hadith we have all these creatures, jinns, human beings, animals. If you just imagine the number of the angels created by God is much, much greater than this. Allah has not created anything more than the angels. Okay, of course they have their different types as well. Now, these great, great creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who are carrying the arsh, which are very huge angels, of course. Those who are وَالْمُدَبِّرَاتَ amra, those who are organizing the affairs of this world. We don't know how many angels they are and what they are doing, okay? Now, then Allah creates a very tiny creature as Adam on this tiny planet as Earth, which probably most of the angels even didn't know where this planet is, because this is a very, very small planet in a very, very small solar system, in a very, very small Milky Way, and probably they even didn't know that Adam is there. But while Adam was on the way of creation, news were going on in the universe that God is creating a new creature. We don't know what it is, but it's a tiny creature. It should be important because God is paying lots of attention to him and all these things, and probably angels were coming to the earth asking each other where the earth is, coming to the earth. And looking at this creature, we are told that when the body was made, it was laid there for 40 years before the soul were blown into it. So coming and looking what this creature is. And of course, it was a strange thing. Then suddenly, Allah told us, when I create each human being and blow the soul in it, all of you have to prostrate and make obeisance to him. Well, this was very strange. Suppose now we are sitting in this room, we are human beings, and just an ant comes passing and we receive a message from a messenger that all of you should prostrate to this ant because this is the greatest creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, how can you believe this? This is not possible. I mean, how Allah would make such a thing, would do such a thing? Okay, now, this is why the angels were surprised, weren't they? They were really surprised. And then Allah said, I am going to put him on the earth as a vicegerent. It means whatever he does, I have done. Whatever he says, I have said. This is the meaning of vicegerent, isn't it? And then the angels saying, Qalu subhanak. Well, you are greater than doing this. I mean, you wouldn't do that. We are sure you wouldn't do that. Because أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْتُقُ فِيهَا. This teacher, maybe the angels had a sense of time as well, is going to shed blood to do mischief. And we, وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُكَ. What we are doing, we're just praising you, worshipping you. Why are you putting him as your vicegerent? قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. I know what he did not know. Okay. Of course, Allah is not a dictator, although no one can question him, but if you question him, he would answer you. Okay. Of course, you have a communication with him. And when the angels asked, Allah said, okay, I'll tell you why. And that was, of course, because of the knowledge that Allah had bestowed in that tiny, tiny creature of him. Which Jibreel, I mean, when compared to Jibreel, when he comes to the earth and wants to punish a city, you are told that if he just touches the earth with his wing, everything would go upside down, isn't it? That big creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he was told, you have to prostrate before Adam. And, of course, Allah explained, he accepted. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. All the angels, without exception, all prostrated to Adam alayhi salam. Okay? But one exception. Iblis. Now, Iblis, of course, was not an angel. He was a jinn, but he was elevated to a station which whenever Allah called upon the angels, he heard. And the angels thought that he was an angel because of the station. And since he was among the angels, he was included in the address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did not do obeisance. And Allah said, why do you do? And of course, this is the answer. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ. I am better than him, than he is. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينٍ. You have created me out of fire, and you have created him out of dust. So I'm better. Is this a tenable argument? Why not?
Why do you say fire is better than not?
Yeah, why do you say fire is better than
is
dust?
Is it
not?
Superior.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's nothing to do with being better in the eyes of Allah. It's not to do with size or material composition or age. It's to do with piety, purity, and prestige.
Or even put aside all piety and purity and tazkiyah and everything else. Is fire better than dust? Why would it be? I mean, so is shaitan that silly? Is he really that silly? Yes, he is. The answer is very simple. He is. He is very silly. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done that. And, the sillier we are, who are deceived by him. I mean, he is very silly, and we are sillier, more silly, if he succeeds to deceive us. And, of course, if we think about it a little bit, we would laugh at ourselves, that how silly we are, that such a silly creature can come and deceive us, and cheat us, and tell us things, and then we get moved, we get instigated in all these things. Of course, he's powerful, but a silly, powerful person. I mean, power doesn't bring you knowledge. Power doesn't bring you understanding. If power is put in the wrong place, of course, it will devastate. As at least, he devastated himself, first of all. And then he tries to devastate others, who, of course, he was so jealous about them. Okay, so you could assuredly say, from now on, that Shaitan at least is a silly creature. And don't be afraid of him saying this. Sometimes people think that if they say bad things about at least, he might come and harm them. No, he cannot do that. Okay. Now, there is the address of Allah to Iblis. قَالَ فَحْبِتْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. He said, go down from this place, or this estate, as it is mentioned here. For it does not befit you to behave proudly here. When we talk about takabbur, we would see that if you are mutakabbur, you cannot stay in the vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to go away. It's not possible. You have power, and you are mutakabbur. You are in the vicinity of God, and you have your own self-centeredness. It is not possible. فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. You are of the abject ones. You are very base, very small in my eyes. Although you have all this power, because these all would end, and you would end up in a place where your state, your station would be very, very small in the whole framework of the creation. Now, he asks a funny thing. قَالَ فَأَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. So let me live. Give me response until the day when they are raised up. How did Shaitan knew that there is a resurrection day and these people are going to die? And it's not only Adam and Eve. There are many, many others to come. And they are going to die and they are going to get resurrected. How did he know? Apparently he knew right from the first place. That it's not only that garden in which they are going to live. They are going to be very, very numerous. They are going to be resurrected. Apparently this was a very widespread knowledge among all the animals, that what is the destiny of this human being? They are going to die, they are going to get resurrected. This world was only a temporal, a transient place in which they would live, and they would come up against a judgment which they all have to undergo, and then they would get separated from each other. Did Adam know this as well? Okay, let's see whether Adam himself knew.
Iblis was a jinn. Mm-hmm. Is that group of soul valid for jinns as well? Do they die and are they going to be resurrected as well?
Yes, sure. Just, sure, okay.
So would it be he was using his knowledge as well as jinn, knowing that?
Yeah, this is a good question because he doesn't actually talk about his own resurrection. He talks about human beings' resurrection. And this shows that he has forgotten that he also himself was going to be resurrected and answer on one day. But of course, Allah would explain to him what will be your situation if you want to do this. And everything was told to Iblis. That if you follow this course, of course you will end up in Jahannam. We'll come to this, inshallah. And Jahannam was created not for us, for him. And despite all this, he accepted. Yes. Give me this respite, I take them with me to Jahannam. I'm happy in Jahannam as long as they are there with me. So jealous. I mean, the type of care that he had. I'm happy as long as he is there in Jahannam. Now, some of us would say, we are happy in Jahannam as long as our wives are not there. Yes?
In the previous ayat, you mentioned that Shaitan was banished. Where was he banished from? The kingdom? Or the universe?
From the vicinity of God. Yeah. It was a state in which he had all that knowledge, in which he was hearing the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the jinn had that ability. They were descended down. And, of course, until the time of the Prophet, Isa, they could still have, I mean, some of them, they could still have this ability to go and hear what the angels were receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the time of our Prophet, it was completely, well, after Prophet Isa, however we went. And after our Prophet, completely the way was closed. This is what is said in Surah Jinn, isn't it? وَإِنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ We had some loopholes in this time. We knew the places where we could go and listen to the voice of the angels. فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ But something has happened. We don't know what has happened. Something has happened which now anyone going to those loopholes would receive a shahab, a lecture. Would be burned completely. فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعَ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شَهَابًا رَسَدًا And then they say, we don't know what has happened. وَأَنَّا لَا نَجَرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ كَلَابٍ We don't know. This change of situation is because a calamity is going to befall the inhabitants of the earth. أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا Because probably they had in news that if a strong guidance come on the earth, the way would be closed. So they say, we don't know whether this is a calamity or that great guidance have come. And, well, in previous verse they say that, وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَا We went and examined all those loopholes. فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلْأَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُكُرًا We found it lots of strong guards guarding it from us so that we do not hear. So, sorry, what was the question again? You forgot, I forgot, okay.
When he was banished, wasn't any kind of like way of killing him?
Yeah, he was banished from that status, and then he couldn't hear, of course, what was going in the Alamul Malakut. This was the banishment which then, of course, his progeny had as well, okay?
This respite is from death. The respite is asking.
Yeah, from death. Yeah.
He's asking from death, yeah?
Yeah, from death and from punishment, probably. From
immediate punishment.
Immediate punishment. But, yeah, most probably it's from death. Give me life until they are resurrected. Yeah.
I have a question, but maybe you are going to do it later. You know, when we talk about Shaitan and how Shaitan can misguide us, this whole concept of how that is possible is still kind of difficult to comprehend. You know, and then we also throw that, you know, he has brought me or I know, you know, that it's not just one entity, Shaitan, but it's a whole range of
Shayateen. Yeah, we have shayateen. Yeah.
So I don't know, if you're gonna come to me later, then that's fine. I don't want to.
No, actually, what happens?
It's hard to comprehend rationally as to how this power, and if it is, and what power we have to resist it, and where does this, kind of, you know, where does the balance lie? I mean, if we have, if we can do that, then are we responsible or not? And then, you know, this whole idea of how, to what extent this relationship is.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, we'll deal with it, inshallah, later on. But briefly, what happens is, Iblis was one jinn. Then he had his progeny. And other jinns, of course, were there. And some of these jinns would become like Iblis himself. They are arrogant. They would like, they hate human beings. And all of them have almost the same power. Not equal power, but the same power. In which they can penetrate through our minds, penetrate through our hearts, and they can whisper things to us. And of course, the defense, first of all, is our own soul, and then there are angels who come from the other side, and penetrate to our mind and heart, and would whisper good things to us. And that, then it puts us in a balance. Then we can decide which way we have to go. And of course, God has said something, believe it or not, okay. He says, إِنَّ كَيْلَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. His deception is very weak, very weak. He thinks that he is strong, but his deception is very weak. But we can respond to him, well, still we are weak. And so you are deceived by him because of the susceptibility and receptibility that we have towards his message.
Are you aware of that? That this is happening?
No, we are not aware. It's a mechanism which goes inside us. It is inside the process of our decision making.
Because you know, Imam Shajjad says in his dua that he's Imamna, he's in my blood vessel, that's what he uses. What does it?
Yeah.
It's almost like he's within your body.
Yeah.
Runs through the veins, that's what he uses.
Well, that is actually a metaphor used by the Prophet. As-shaytan yajri fibna adam majrad dam. Shaytan flows in the children of Adam like blood. It means it can penetrate every aspect, well, not physically, but spiritually, every aspect of our personality. And also, the other implication of that would be, as long as blood is flowing in our veins, shaitan is coming and going, up until we die. So, until the end of the life, shaitan can come in and go. But, as I said, it's in the process of decision making. Now, how shaitan can influence that, and how we can bar it, of course, we'll discuss it later on, inshallah. Because this is very vast an area to cover now. Now, shaitan says, give me respite, and Allah says, okay, I'll give you respite until a certain day, which he does not clarify what day it is, whether it's day of resurrection or not. Now, shaitan says, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَغْوَدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. As you have caused me to go astray, well, to remain disappointed, I don't think this is the right translation of إغواء. إغواء means deception. No? Since you have deceived me, لَأَغْوَدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will certainly lie in wait for them in life's straight path. Now look how arrogant Iblis is. And how, of course, he deserves the banishment that Allah has decreed for him. He says, since you have deceived me, well, did Allah deceive you? I mean, from the story that you are told, is there any deception by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no deception. He just told them, you have to prostrate. And why Allah did not deceive other angels? And why they did follow what Allah said and at least did not? Allah explained to them why. Well, he shouldn't explain anything. لا يسأل عما يفعل. He's not going to be questioned. Who wants to question him? With our tiny little intellects, how can you question him, which is the creator of all intellect and all wisdom? How could you? But still, when you question, he would answer. Because he wants to clarify, well, there's, everything is clear for him. So he clarified everything. Still he said, seems to deceive me. And compare this with what Adam and Eve said when they were banished from the garden. What did they say? Anyone remembers? قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They said, oh God, we wronged ourselves. And if you do not have mercy upon us, and if you do not forgive us. So, look how different Adam and Shaitan were. Of course, that was the source of all arrogance. And Adam was just deceived. We come to it, why he was deceived and how he was deceived. Okay, then it says, I will come from all sides and I'll try to deceive them. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكَرِينَ. You wouldn't find most of these creatures which you have created and you have put them up above me. You wouldn't find them grateful to you. And قَالَ أَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْءُومًا مَدْحُورًا. He said, get out of this. Despised, driven away. Whoever of them will follow you, I will certainly fill hell with you all. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّنَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Now, there's a furnace in this. Shaitan says, you wouldn't find them grateful. I was not grateful to you, I confess, but you wouldn't find them grateful as well. You preferred them over me. But you would see, if you give me the power and response, I would deceive all of them. Now, isn't it fair that Allah says, okay, anyone following you would have the same destiny as you? It's very fair. It's quite fair. And in fact, if this was not the case, Allah had made a preference without justification. And this is justice. And this is what Allah actually... The type of argument which silenced Shaitan completely. But there's no difference between you and them. You have become arrogant, you have to go away. If they become arrogant, they have to go away. And at the end, I will fill the Jahannam with you. We will later on see that Jahannam is created for Shaitan to contain him. Okay? Now, of course, then anyone following him would go to the same abode and same place. Okay, we want to come to the story of Adam now.
It's interesting how Shaitan knows how human, what a human being is and how he can be deceived away and be ungrateful to Allah. How can Shaitan know?
Yeah, he was a knowledgeable, silly person. Yeah.
You said that in the previous verse it said that anyone that follows him will go to hell. Mm-hmm. But when Bibi Hawa and the Adam ate the fruit, they followed him. Does that mean they?
Well, of course, repentance is a repeating type of process which repeals everything. Even the repentance is there for Shaitan. If he wants to repent, this is what Allah would accept.
So there is a get out clause. There is a get out clause from following Shaitan.
Yes, of course. Of course there is a get out clause. And even if Shaitan himself wants to get out of that situation, he could. There is a story mentioned in the Bible. Of course not in the official Bible, in the Bible of Barnabas. Maybe you have heard of this story before, but I'll repeat it. It's a nice story. But once Isa alayhi salam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it not possible that you forgive Shaitan and give him the same station as he had previously, so that he is relieved of his pain, and also yourself as human beings are relieved of his deception? I mean, is it not possible to do it? And Allah says, it is possible, yes, I am quite ready to do that. And Isa alayhi salam said, okay, what is the condition? How this would happen? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's just for Iblis to say, God, I made a mistake, I want to come back. I will lift him. I will take him back. If he says this. If he says this. And Isa alayhi salam was very happy. He said, can you arrange a meeting between me and Shaitan? Is it possible to meet him? He said, yes. You go to that such and such place, Shaitan will come to you. I will make him to come to me. And then, it's a very long story in that Bible. And it says, Isa alayhi salam went there, waited for Shaitan. Shaitan came in a very strange appearance. And started to argue with Isa about many things. But Isa said, I haven't come to argue with you here. I have come to make an intercession for you with your Lord. Do you like to go back to your initial, to your original station? He said, yes, very much. I would like to go back. He said, I have made that intercession for you. Tell me, if Allah wants to take you back, will you accept? Will you want to? He said, yes, of course. What is the condition? He said, there's no condition. Just say, oh God, I made a mistake. So take him back. Then Shaitan thought for a little while and gave Isa a funny smile and said, it's a good deal, but provided God tells me he made a mistake. And only on this condition I would go back to my place. So you would see that this is a creature who wants to really put a fight against his creator, against his Lord. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Shaitan is very much kafur. Kafur means someone who really denies the ni'mah given to him. And of course, he's still using the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuing his life, isn't it? And he knows the Lord, he knows how merciful, how powerful he is, and still doing all these things. It means he has gone mad. Well, I cannot explain it in any other way. He has gone mad. I mean, how would you explain this? I don't know. I'm very much
the same thing as human beings do. We do the same thing as human beings do. In some sense, you know that.
But sometimes we don't have that knowledge that Iblis had about his Lord, and we haven't seen that world of angels and that world of Malakun. He has seen all those things. I mean, how this is justifiable?
Is it because his takabbur is taking his reasoning out of it?
Yeah, probably. I mean, the only thing that he has gone mad. I mean, this is the only, and the jealousy has made him mad, and he's trying to fool all of us to make us mad as well. I think this is the only explanation. Okay, now, وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ فَكُلَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Okay, this is the story before Adam goes to that garden. In fact, before Adam becomes aware of where he was. All these went before Adam and Eve went to live in that garden of them peacefully. Now, and then we told to Adam that dwell you and your wife in the garden, and eat from where you desire, but do not go near this tree, for then you will be of the unjust. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Okay. As soon as they entered the garden, Shaitan entered the garden as well. So it was not paradise, because Shaitan can never go to paradise. Okay. Now, Shaitan made an evil suggestion to them, waswasa lahuma shaitan, layubdi lahuma, that he might make manifest to them what had been hidden from them of their evil inclinations. Layubdi lahuma ma wuriya anhuma min sal'atihima. And then he said, وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَ رَبُّكُمَ عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Now, before going to that, let's put ourselves in the situation again. Now, suppose you are Adam alayhi salam, and the ladies are Hawa alayhi salam, alayhi salam, and you are put in that garden, everything is prepared for you. You know the Lord, you know you are not born, you are created by the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to speak, okay, just as a metaphor. And Allah has said all the angels to prostrate before you, He has taught you all the names, and then He has put you in the garden. You don't need anything. In Malaka, Allah tajru'a fiha wa la ta'ra, you never go hungry here, you never need any dress. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَزْمَعُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَفَعُ. You never go thirsty, you never need any shade, you never feel the heat of sun, nothing. Everything is catered for you. Just one thing I tell you, there is a tree in this garden, and he showed them the tree. This tree, do not get near it. Because if you get near this, you will become of the unjust, and you will wrong yourself. Okay? Now, then, in other words, we have that he showed Shaitan to them. Okay? وَقَالَ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. This is your enemy and the enemy of your wife. فَلَا تُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. His intention is to drive you out of this Jannah. Be careful. Don't get deceived by him. فَتَشْحَى. If you go out, you will go through lots of hardships, okay? Now, you are there, you are enjoying yourself completely, no need, and you know this enemy is there with you, and you know that tree you shouldn't eat from it, and then this enemy comes to you and says, come and eat from this tree, and you say, oh, I had neglected eating from it, sorry, and you would go and eat. Is it possible? How did it happen, you think? How did it happen?
Was he promising them that by eating from this tree, death will never conquer you? That was the one thing that they did. They had everything except...
So they know that they were going to die, first of all. Okay, they knew that they were going to die. And they were going to cease living in that garden. Okay? And Adam and Shaitan came and told them, this is the tree of eternality, come and eat from it. And they just forgot what Allah had told them, and they said, okay, we go and eat, and they ate. As simple as that?
Yeah. I don't know if this is true, but I heard that there was a very long period between the time it was told that the tree, maybe 30,000 years or something. I don't know if that's exaggerated, but it's a very long period of time.
It is exaggerated. There was, of course, a time, but I don't think Adam lived altogether in that garden and outside more than 200 years. So, there was a while, of course. It didn't happen on the first day. But, 30,000 years is a bit exaggerated.
In the garden, what's time? That's because they say Shaitan was in the earth for 6,000 years. I don't know if that's real. You hear these stories.
Shaitan is different. I mean, the jinn age is different from human beings. And Adam was a human being, of course. And in that garden, he was a human being. Anyhow, I mean, time, what time would play as a factor here? I mean, if they knew that God had forbidden them from eating that tree, and then suddenly Shaitan coming out and telling them, this is the tree from which if you eat, you would never die. And this is what he told them, isn't it? قَالَ يَا عَدَمْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ. They want me to guide you, to usher you towards the tree of eternality, وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى, and a kingdom which never fades. Okay, this is what he told them. Now, why Adam didn't have there? Of course, he didn't have eternality. So he knew that. He knew that he was going to die. So that was not paradox, of course. He knew that he was going to be resurrected, as Shaitan knew he was going to be resurrected. And he knew that he was going to have progeny, maybe in that garden. Okay? But how? How they were deceived? I mean, this is very strange, isn't it? I mean, if Allah has, I mean, say, 30 years ago, okay, 30 years, I think that, I don't think it lasted more than a few months. I mean, maximum. But suppose 30 years ago, you know that Allah has said you something, told you something. And now, if someone comes repeatedly telling you things against it, you are not going to forget that, are you? I mean, it would actually sharpen your memory about it. All the time they come and say something about it, you just remember what the Lord has told you about it. So how did it happen? We know that Adam and Eve weren't silly creatures. They were taught all the knowledge that a human being could be taught. They were not silly creatures, as Iblis was. Iblis was silly, actually. Well, he had gone mad. I mean, just jealousy had driven him mad, okay? But Adam and Eve, of course, they didn't have any jealousy. They weren't driven mad. So, how do you think it happened? Yeah.
Well, the way Shaitan deceives us is he makes it seem fair silly. And they were naive. Those two combinations?
They were naive. I don't think so, they were naive.
But they've never seen deception before. They weren't streetwise, they'd never seen anything like that.
They had never seen deception, okay. But they were not living in London, of course.
Was he a prophet at that time or not?
Prophet to whom?
No, so he had not been...
No, of course he was not a prophet. I mean, there was no one to God.
So did he have that hikmah or the wisdom at that time?
Of course he had wisdom. Of course he had wisdom. I mean, when he came to earth, he did not increase anything. Okay? Well, let's put it this way. When he came to earth, did God give him something extra in terms of wisdom and knowledge that he didn't have in the garden? I don't think so. I mean, Allah just accepted his repentance, okay? And then, of course, gave him guidance to live on the earth. That's a different thing. Then, as soon as he gave him guidance, he became a prophet, okay? But in that garden, of course, he had the wisdom, the hikmah, but not the guidance to live on the earth, of course, because he wasn't on the earth, so to speak. I mean, that garden might have been on the earth, but not the earth that we know at this time. It was a bit different. Now, let's put two different verses together to see how Shaitan deceived them. And this would tell us that at any stage, for any stage of our life, Shaitan has a rope of deception. He knows from which point should attack which person. This is what actually we had in previous verses. What did he say? Let's look at the previous verse. He says, ثُمَّ لَعَاتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I will certainly come to them from before them and from behind them, and from their right hand side and from their left hand side, and you shall not find most of them thankful. Now, from the right hand side, well, right and left in Arabic metaphor means the good side and the bad side. If you are a very, very religious person, Shaitan would come through the same doors. It's time for Salatul Layl. Don't you? Haven't you heard this hadith that Shaitan was waking Muawiyah up for morning prayer? It's mentioned in Rumi. It's very nice that Shaitan used to go to Muawiyah and wake him up for morning prayer, so that he thought that he was a very pious person. And then he did all those mischiefs, saying that, well, I must be right doing all these mischiefs. Now, Shaitan might come to us and say, okay, wake up for night prayer, why don't you do that prayer? It's very good. And then after we do it, say, well, you are certainly different from other people who don't do my prayer. I mean, these are just silly animals. They all just don't worship their Lord as you do. And gradually, it brings that takabbur into people. And aimanahem. Okay, from the right side. Well, and shamanahem, from the left side. Pleasures, indulgence, and all these things, of course, that's the left side. And religion is the right side. وَمِن بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ. مِن بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ is what is in front of us, what's ahead of us, aspirations, false desires, and all these things. I mean, we all forget that we are going to cease to live. And so, he comes and takes that away. Brings us aspirations. And وَمِن خَلْفِهِمْ, thinking about the past. You see, some people always live in the past. They always either are sorry about the past or just reminiscing about the good things that they had in the past or boast about their fathers, their ancestors, their nobility and all these things. And these are the things that we can think that from all directions Shaitan can attack us. Okay? Now, from what direction did he attack Adam? Now, what he said, this is in Surah Araf, in Surah Taha, it says, قال يا آدم هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى. He wants me to guide you to a tree? Well, of course. Now, as I said, let's put ourselves into the picture. You are living in that garden very happily, and Shaitan is coming and going. He doesn't tell you anything at the beginning, of course, because he's your enemy, you know that. But gradually you become used to each other. I mean, you see him, he sees you sometimes. I mean, and you say, well, that's a very harmful creature, of course. Oh, God has said he's my enemy, but not very harmful, anyhow. And after a while, coming, talking about certain things, of course not about the tree, because that is the sensitive point of Adam and Eve. He's not going to talk about that at all for a while. And then, during one conversation, he says, did you know, by the way, that there's a tree in this garden? What a nice garden God has created for you. Of course, it's all for you, not for me, I'm the abject creature of God. It's all created for you. And, by the way, did you know one of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this garden is that there's a tree in this garden which anyone eating from it would become tame. Now we don't. You want to show it to him? No, we don't want. Yeah. You are our enemy. We don't want anything from you. Any advice from you? Okay, you don't want that, so. Well, the conversation stops. Now, after a while, after he has aroused the curiosity in them, he said, well, what harm would come if you come and see where the tree is? Okay. He takes them to the tree. And, of course, at the first sight, they see that this is the same tree that God has told them not to eat. And they say, you cursed creature, we knew that you are our enemy. Allah has told us not to eat from this tree. Now, what he says, قَالَ, this verse, putting these two verses together. قَالَ مَا نَعَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. This is when they are just beside the tree, because it's unharmed from this tree, okay? When he has brought them near the tree. In Surah Taha, he just has told them, before coming to the tree, he just has told them, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ. Do you want me to show you a tree which is the tree of eternality? Well, they have responded after a while. They have come just beside the tree. And he said, قَالَ مَا نَعَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Now, he said, they said, this is the tree we are told not to eat from. How dare you telling us that this is the tree of eternality? And he said, well, exactly, that is why your Lord has told you not to eat from it, because he doesn't want you to become eternal. Well, there's nothing wrong, he doesn't want you to become eternal. That's why he has told you not to eat from it. And of course, if you eat from it, you become eternal. What can he do about it? Nothing. I have a knowledge about it. You don't have that knowledge. He can't do it after you have become eternal. He doesn't want you to become eternal like angels, Malakain. He doesn't want you to become like two angels. أَوْتَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِينَ. And even if you don't become like angels, you become two eternal creatures of God. Now, they said, you are lying. You are lying. Our Lord has not prohibited us because of this. He said, I swear by your Lord, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا, that he has prohibited you only because of this. Of course, they argued with Shaitan that this is not the case. Our Lord is not that bad as you think, that to prevent us from eating a tree, which is the tree of eternality. And he said, no, I swear by your Lord, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا أَنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I'm telling the truth to you, that this is the case. Well, they did not, of course, believe him. But فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. Gradually, he told them and told them and told them, and they believed him. Now, they believed him not because they thought the Lord had somehow lied to them. Because they thought, yes, maybe the reason for the Lord to prevent them from eating is because he didn't want them to become eternal. Were they justified? Okay, let's leave this for next week, inshallah. To see whether they were justified in this thinking of them or not. You think about it. I mean, you put yourself in place of Adam and Eve, and me in place of Shaitan, and my whispering to you, and to see how it is possible for you to be deceived. Yes?
Well, you can speak a very good argument. You can go up and say, look, your Lord thinks you're not ready, but you know, you can show him you're ready, and something like that. Maybe your Lord thinks you're not ready at that level yet. He said, but you can show him you're ready. I mean, you can deceive people like that.
Yeah, all these things. I mean, if he said, I really want, I'm telling you the truth, I'm a nasih to you, I'm a good advisor for you. He would have told them anything. I mean, yeah, that maybe your Lord told you are not prepared. Now that you are prepared for it, go for it, eat from it, and you see what happens. At the end, after you have become eternal, what can he do about it? I mean, maybe these are the type of things which he has said to Adam. Now, by eating from that tree, do you think Adam sinned? Did he commit a sin at all? I mean, after all these deceptions and confusions, but did he do a wrong thing at all?
He did a wrong thing. He did a wrong thing.
Okay, let's see next week, inshallah, what happens to them.